Thank you, Caden. Would you pray with me? Lord, open our minds, our hearts, and our souls up that what is said, heard, and understood this day would be pleasing unto you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, it really is great when we have control of things in our lives. Everything just seems to go along just fine and smooth, and everything happens just the way that we want. That is, until it doesn't. When our children were young, they seemed to want to listen to us and to do what we asked them to do. If we were out and about and our children would run, they'd be running around and they'd get a little bit far too far away where we could not see them, we'd tell them, stop! And they'd actually stop. Come back, stay a little bit closer to me where I can keep an eye on it. I've seen this out in public where kids are running around as kids will, and they get a little far away, and the parent yells their name and tells them to stop and to come back. The thing is that as those kids get older and they become more mature, simply listening and obeying what they are asked to do becomes more difficult. Hey, what? You're getting a little too far away. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Get back here. Why? And so on and so on. We as human beings, we don't like chaos in our lives. We don't like things that happen that we don't expect or don't want. We want everything just to go along without a hitch and without any frustration. We all want to hang on to what I call the Presbyterian verse, 1 Corinthians 4:14, which says, let all things be done decently and in order. And if you walk into any Presbyterian church, they will know exactly what that verse means. We want to determine how things should go and how they should unfold in our lives and the lives of those that are close to us. We take steps to make sure that we get the desired outcome. We take steps to train our children up, to correct them when they stray. Wives try, and I emphasize the word try, to get their husbands to do what is right so that desired outcomes can unfold. In many cases, this can lead to obsession in trying to get a certain outcome. We must get the expected outcome at any cost because it is the correct one. And when it looks like that we are losing control of the situation and what we want is not going to happen, what do? We try harder. We increase the urgency of trying to steer things in the way that we know is the best thing and the best way that it can take and happen. We say to myself, I just need to find the right words. Or I just need to figure out the right way to get the correct outcome. In the Honest Questions today, it talks about herding chickens. And it made me think about, has anyone, any of you ever tried to herd a bunch of cats and get them to go where you want them to go? Or better yet, how many of you have ever tried to herd a flock of chickens and get them to go where you want them to go? Is that easy, Ethan? No, it's not. We have chickens. We have about a dozen chickens in our backyard. And trying to get them to go into the pen sometimes is almost impossible. And in both cases, trying to herd cats or herd chickens ultimately ends up being an exhausting and frustrating experience. Why can't we get these chickens, these darn chickens, back into the pen? Why don't they just do what we tell them to? And this also gives us a feeling of failure and perhaps a feeling of being totally worthless. Now, the thing is, we are not alone in feeling frustration. Christ felt frustration. And he felt it in the same way that we do. Things did not always have the outcome that he was looking for. I mean, here he was, God manifested as a man, a full human being on earth. He is out there speaking the truth to people, telling people about the kingdom of God. And they weren't listening. They wouldn't listen, and they wouldn't obey. Jesus knows that he can only bring the message. He can't make people accept it. Because God had to just give us free will to make up our own minds. It's frustrating. The religious leaders, the ones that more than likely should have accepted him to understand what he was trying to say, they rejected him. And it got to the point, as we saw in Scripture today, that they were threatening him, that they were threatening to kill Jesus because of what he was doing. And they felt threatened. They felt threatened because the religious leaders had a nifty little racket going on. They had the people doing exactly what they wanted them to do. And this brought them great respect and great power. And they didn't like that Jesus was upsetting their apple cart. Even the 12 disciples that were with Jesus for pretty much his entire 3-year ministry here on earth, even the disciples didn't act how Jesus wanted them to act. You can see it in Scripture. There's many times where Jesus is teaching to the people, And he uses parables because it was simplified. It was in a language that hopefully the people could take and understand. And most times after you read about Jesus telling the parable, you've got the disciples saying, "Master, what did you mean when you said such and such?" And I can just see in my mind's eyes Jesus rolling his eyes to heaven and thinking to himself, "I am surrounded by idiots." So there was a lot of frustration. Jesus teaching, people not quite understanding it. And in the scripture that Caden read today, Jesus is getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And there's a lot of lament on Jesus' part in this scripture. Because I think deep down inside, he really didn't want to go. He knew what was coming, and it was not his preferred outcome. It was not the outcome that he would have wanted. And he laments this. He talks about when the prophets would go to Jerusalem, but they weren't listened to, that they were stoned. And they were killed. And he talks about how all he wants to do is gather the people together and to take care of them. But they wouldn't let him do that. They resisted him. Frustration. Why can't these people do what I want them to do? He knows what's going to happen when he gets to Jerusalem. And again, I think deep down inside, he wishes that he had better control over the situation. Because even though he was fully God, he was also fully human. And I think to a certain extent, he dreaded what was coming. And you can see such when you read about Jesus' prayer in the garden. So what do we do about not being able to control everything? What do we do about not always getting the outcome that we want? Even though we would dearly love to have control over all parts of life and have the desired outcomes to happen. In the end, we must accept the fact that we cannot. Now, for those of you who were here a week and a half ago for Ash Wednesday, we talked about how there was no perfect way. We talked about how we cannot find the perfect way or the right way to do something because it does not exist. And how we get distracted with this search for perfection. In many ways, this search for perfection has a lot in common with trying to control what happens to us. We get the same frustrations, the same feelings of failure and worthlessness, and the same distractions. We said that instead of finding the perfect way, we need to find the way that works for us. In terms of controlling the things in our life and walking or pushing towards a desired outcome, we need to take and relax a little bit and we need to see where things go. Back, I think it was in the 60s and 70s, what do people say? Go with the flow, man. Go with the flow. We need to let go of all things, people and situations being just so, and go along with how things unfold and make the best of it. We can't always control the way that things happen. But we can dance the dance of life as it comes. Remembering that our dance partner in this life, Jesus Christ, will be there to help us improvise. No matter what song may be playing, and when that song might change. We may not have control over this dance of life. It may not be a perfect dance, but this dance can be good enough. And that, my friends, is just fine. Amen.